Selamat pagi, good morning, and welcome back to the Product Uncensored show. My name is Colin, and I am the host of this show. Actually, I've been the host for many episodes last, so if you don't really like me, then tough. Today's episode is episode 39, which means that we are one episode away from a podcast midlife crisis. Let's see what happens in episode 40, right? So I think that will be a milestone episode for myself. That's something different. Today, we're going to focus on the star and the guest of today's show. He is someone that I've come to really respect very highly. I think he's a really, really good guy. And he's probably the best kept secret in product management in Malaysia, right? You really don't see him post much on LinkedIn, but he's an amazing guy to speak to, love his views, and that's why we've got him on the show. He's currently the executive director of product management at Service Rocket. Please welcome to the show Mr. Aswandi Aris.
Hey, thank you, Colin. Thanks for having me on the show. It's such an honor to be here.
Yes. It's been a long time coming. So I've been trying to spread out the people that I know and the people that I don't personally know, so that, you know, it doesn't feel like I've got a little cronyism group going on within the podcast scene. So yes, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I'm sure that a lot of people want to know, who is Aswandi Aris? So maybe let's start with that, right? Maybe tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
All right, thanks, Colin. And I think you did a really good introduction, but I'm not sure I 100% agree on all those high expectations. But I'm happy to be here and share a bit more about myself. Yes, currently I'm the executive director of product management at Service Rocket and a product lead at Service Rocket. I actually started my career as a developer support engineer at Customware. We used to be called as Customware last time. And I spent about 3 to 4 years working in the customer support team, answering support tickets, really understanding customer problems. And I work a lot on the Atlassian platform. That is for anyone who's familiar with Atlassian. They did not have any cloud products, cloud platforms, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, right? And I was one of the pioneers to work with them on, you know, supporting their early versions of cloud platforms. So it was a really interesting experience. And I spent the next 3 to 4 years being a subject matter expert, and then, you know, working on some of the management and leadership part of the support team and how to run a support team, and looking at, you know, the bigger overview of how we can be successful as a support organization and offering that as advantage for apart from products or platforms offerings. I think like you said, there was a midlife crisis, but I'm not sure it was a midlife crisis for me, but halfway through, I realized, all right, I think it's time to move on. And not to say it's an accidental experience, but there was an opening within Service Rocket to actually try out product management. It was really, to me at that time, it was something new, and it feels something, you know, you don't really know what that is, but you kind of want to try it. And when I was actually doing the technical support, I worked with the product team and, you know, had really good exposure to engineering, design, product management. So I kind of learned a little bit and kind of grew a lot of my interest in actually building products and try to solve customer problem. You know, when you get annoyed that, you know, some days when you hit into some kind of bugs, problems raised by customers, and again you kind of get annoyed with it, and then just you feel like you just want to say to the product, hey, can you just fix this, right? So I kind of threw myself into that position. So now you know, at that time, now, all right, Azani, it's you. Now you got to figure out, right, you know, how to work with these customer support engineers now from now on. So it was interesting experience again, going into product management, and I spent about 3 to 4 years working from zero to something, right? Working on my product craft, learning from, you know, doing some silly stuff, all the way to working with like 6 to 7 product managers, and then starting to lead the product team. And then in the past 3 to 4 years, I've also spent most of my time leading not just the product management team, but also our engineering team, design team, and cross-functional teams, and, you know, starting to get into some kind of business and strategy part of the business. So yeah, that's me, Colin. And I know I spent about maybe 14 to 15 years, like starting to lose count of the years that I've been spending in this company, but I'm truly grateful of all the experience and opportunities that, you know, I was given. So yeah, that's me.
Nice. Very, very nice. So let's rewind a little bit, right? So you were saying that you were the service support, right? I believe you called yourself, right? And then you had exposure to working with a product team. So when the opportunity came up, was it something that you applied for, you were pushing for, or was it something that somebody, you know, within the organization said, hey, Azwandi, you should probably look into this and try it out because, you know, you have the potential, you have the talent?
It's a mix of both, I think, just trying to recall that situation. So I was talking to my manager about, you know, going into another kind of opportunities. And we actually tried a few things. I went to internal interviews, a few internal interviews to different departments. And then there was just this like one position that was kind of like opening up at that time internally. And you know, as soon as I hear about it, I was like, oh my God, maybe this is something, right? And my eyes kind of like lit up and, you know, let's try this. I don't really know what this is, but I've heard about this product management thing. And the sheer amount of things that you're going to work with kind of attracted me, right? Like you got to work with a lot of people. And I mean, in terms of cross-departmental collaborations and stuff, right? Working with engineers, working with products, working with customers, making something work for the business. It's a lot. So I think the first 7 years that I spent as a support engineer, you know, when you talk to customers, you kind of, even like when you work on specific, for example, support tickets, and then there's specific problems, specific troubleshooting steps that you go through, and then you kind of fixate on that problem and try to deep dive and try to find out the root cause and find another way to prevent this type of stuff. But I think product management is kind of broadened the perspective, right? When you talk to customers, it's no longer about getting into like something very specific. You kind of try to understand from various perspective, like, okay, I know you want this, but you know, how about that and that, right? And it's a different kind of challenge for me. And so I took up that challenge. At that time, there was already a product manager slash project manager working on a platform. And there is this one type of smaller business at that time. It's called apps. And the product manager needs to hand over so that he can focus on the platform. So I took up the opportunity and worked with like you know, a bunch of awesome team members, engineers, and there was only me, a product manager. So it was kind of I felt nervous in the beginning for quite a bit of time, but and I consumed a lot of information just to learn what product management is at that time. So,
Okay, thanks for that. So let me ask you, right? So you were saying that there were a few things that sort of attracted you to that product manager role. What was the number one thing at that time? At that, if you can think back so far, right? What was that one thing? Because I heard you say that, you know, being able to, you know, having to do so many things, sort of coordinate, and then you're saying work with so many tools, and be able to solve user problems. Like, was there like this just one particular thing that made you say, you know what, this is the reason why I really want to go into that product manager role?
That's a tough question. I grew up having a lot of interest in technology products and stuff, right? I'm sure it's most of us, even the audience here, went through the same path. So I mean, my passion has been through products. I did software engineering, and then, you know, tried a bit of programming, didn't really work out for me, but I've managed to finish that degree anyway.
Hey, that makes two of us, by the way. So yeah, it sounds like both of us had the same problem, right? We did like computer science / software engineering and realized we probably weren't very good at it. So
yeah. So that's right. So I have a lot of interest in products, and not to say products, right? I mean, at that time I didn't really know what product is, but kind of like apps and systems, applications, websites, it's cool, awesome stuff. Right. I always have that kind of interest. And even when I was in working as a support engineer, that was kind of like the main attraction to me. And I had a chance to work on the Alasen platform, which I think, you know, not being biased, but I think they're pretty good at developing great products. It really caught my interest. And I think going to that product management, there was one thing that, you know, this is it, right? This is the time where I could actually exercise my passion, perhaps skills, interests, right? Something that I can make impact on. So it's as much as it's a cliche, but I think, you know, sometimes product management is like a blank canvas where, hey, now it's time for you to work on your craft and do something and make an impact. And so I think, yeah, that's probably one thing that I would highlight, my passion for working on products that kind of like help people to do better.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. And you know, one of the things that, you know, I've always really respected about you is that you don't fit the typical mold of a product leader, right? So generally, you look across the board, you look across the room, and most product leaders tend to be very loud. I mean, there are varying degrees of loud, right? But they tend to be louder, they tend to be a bit more putting themselves out there, I would say. And you've never struck me as one person who is like that. So how would you describe your brand of product? Or maybe not even, let's not even start with product. How would you describe yourself as a person? Yeah, maybe that's an easier one to lead into the next questions.
Well, Glenn, we haven't worked really closely together, but I think you kind of nailed it. Like when you say, you know, when you try to describe. Sometimes I also wonder when, you know, when people, it's really interesting to hear from people talking and getting some feedback from people about what they think about you, right? And I'm not disagreeing, right? I think there's a lot of part of myself that, I mean, when we speak about introversion and extroversion, I think I grew up being introvert, and you know, it kind of shows throughout my life. And I tend to spend a lot of time refining my thoughts and thinking about, you know, what would be the best way to actually convey my message, what would be, you know, what would the other person feels about things, right? So those type of things kind of help me. I mean, not to say help me, but most of the time when I can exercise my creative space of the brain, right, I think I tend to behave that way. So and one more thing I want to say is I think in a new setup, new environment, I tend to be more reserved, and that's when my introversion kicks in. But then as I get to know people and get to know each other, I think that kind of become the extroversion comes out from that introversion, right? And that really helps. I mean, we can talk more about it, but yeah, that's probably how I can share part of myself.
Yeah, I mean, that leads very perfectly into the next few questions, right? So one of the things that I really wanted to sort of explore with you on today's episode is, you know, being a product leader or being a product manager who's actually not your typical mold, right? So that's going to be my first question. So at the beginning, right, when you were a product manager and you are expected to work with so many people and you're having to get your thoughts across, as a person who is self-described as an introvert, right, how do you overcome it? Do you find ways to go around it? What is your method? What do you do?
Yeah, I think in the beginning of my career as product manager, there was a lot of anxiety around working with people, and actually the biggest one is customers. I actually had a lot of I think I built a lot of experience working with customers when I was a support engineer, right? But then, like I said, when you get to a calls, you know, there's something specific, you know, how to deal with this problem, and you know, let's calm the customer down and stuff like that. But product management, you know, when you just think about it, when you get on a customer call, you probably have something specific you want to tell, but you kind of want to go broad and start building trust relationship during that call, things like that, right? So it's not, when you're a support engineer, you kind of work, you know, that the customer wants you, right? They want you to solve their problem, right? As product managers, as much as we want it that way, but sometimes it's more like the other way around, like, hey, I want to learn more about you so I can help you to discover what your problem is, and then I can probably come up with some potential solutions for you, right? So those type of things. And yeah, in the beginning, there's a lot of anxiety for me to kind of adjust to that, right? And even working with new teams, engineers, and one context that I can provide is when I went into the product management team, there was already like a really well-established engineering team in the company. So I feel privileged about that. I don't have to deal with, you know, some product managers had some challenges when they go to a new team, new setup, new company, or even setting up a new agile organization. There was always question, how do you do this? How do you do that? And sometimes you have to micromanage the engineers. I could say like 0%. I probably did not have to deal with that, right? So So with that, I think I had the chance and opportunities to really spend time with the team and start building that rapport, trust, relationship with them, and kind of have more like a one-on-ones, trying to understand, being so vulnerable about things. I remember I kept saying to the team, hey, I'm really new to this. I'm sorry if I don't, you know, I don't understand a lot of things here, right? But I think by being vulnerable in such way kind of helped me to get each of us kind of being opened up and, you know, understand each other and being able to focus on what we want to do, right? Mm. So I spent a lot of time to just have that, building that trust relationship. Being an introvert, I tend to have like worries, anxieties, nervousness when talking to the big group, right? So I spent quite a lot of time just having one-on-ones, building relationship with the team members, and so from there you start building my credibility, right, as a product manager, right? I think that went pretty well. There's a few other things probably, but yeah. So, kind of stood up for me.
Maybe I can sort of try and nitpick a little bit, right? Did you have to change your process, your, you know, the way that you would say, you know, either mentally prepare for things, or did you have to do certain things differently, or did you have to even change maybe the public facing persona that you have? Because again, you know, this is coming from a guy who's not an introvert, right? So you have to just excuse my stupidity, right? Or naivety, because I've heard from some others that they sort of have a different, like, there's a different face that comes to the office that goes into meetings versus there is a different face when it's non-work time. Did you have to do anything like that?
I don't feel like I had to be change my process at some point. I think being in an environment where, you know, we understand about our values and how we work, how we should work together, it kind of helped everybody to kind of like level set.
Okay.
It's I mean, I did. I mean, I think the first few years wasn't a perfect example of a product manager. I'm sure everybody has a story to tell about those things. But yeah, I think along the way in the past few years, especially, you know, being in a management leadership and kind of like business and strategic point of view, you tend to be much more deliberate about your time and how you interact with the team and other people. Right. One of the things that I think thinking about this topic, right, I actually in retrospect, I tend to schedule a lot of my meetings in the mornings. We kind of group them together and, you know, and to think about it, I think I want that afternoon time to actually just recharge and, you know, deep focus and have some kind of concentration, right? It's like, so sometimes I get anxiety when I have a lot of meetings, like kind of scattered around during the day. Like I wish I just could group them up and, you know, spend the whole 3 to 4 hours in the morning just back-to-back meeting, and then I have the focus time in the afternoon. That worked really well for me, right? And also kind of spending the week deliberately, right? There's one practice that I'm doing. It's called Sunday Special, right? So every Sunday I look at my calendar and first thing first, you kind of look at what's your family commitment. And especially this is after the COVID days, this is much more relevant to me, especially, right, when working at home with family commitments as well. So try to think about your family first and then fill up your calendars with all the important stuff, review all these things. So when you start your Monday, you kind of feel confident about, all right, this is how I'm going to spend the week. Yeah, there's probably other things that I'm doing or I used to do. I realized that when I go to some kind of big meetings or, you know, something that will put me in high pressure situation, I really need to prepare for it. And sometimes I over prepare for it. My wife sometimes tells me, hey, you've been looking at that slides for like hours. So and then, yeah, at first I did not want to acknowledge that. I told my wife, hey, come on, it's not hours. I mean, it's just a few minutes, right? But then I started to realize, yeah, why would I lie to myself? I told my wife, this is me, right? I really need to prepare for things so that I can gain confidence and I can, I feel, you know, I can be in front of others and convey my message and being concise about what I want to say. Still working on it, Colin, but yeah.
No, so I was just actually going to interrupt because I wanted to sort of push that scenario that you've mentioned, right? So in a high pressure situation or high pressure meetings where, you know, it's going to be a lot of people and, you know, you're going to have to be live or in person. How do you deal with those kinds of situations, right? Do you feel like you, again, you know, do you say, okay, I need to prepare and then I will answer when asked or when challenged? Or do you prepare so that you're able to go in there and be confident and be an active participant. So again, just trying to understand that mental process or thought process of preparation, and then, you know, when it happens, what's happening as well.
Okay, I think over preparing helped me out. This is one thing. Not sure if that's an advantage or disadvantage, but I think kind of worked for me, right? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I went to meeting and kind of just wing it, right? Because I think I have the idea. And once you build that confidence, you kind of feel that you don't need so much time to prepare anymore, right? So you get into some type of meeting, it's kind of like, all right, this is the thought process and I just want to talk about it. I think during these high pressure meetings, what really helped me is I could recall the types of relationship that I've had with the members, right? So, you know, just by looking at the Zoom calls or, you know, looking at the faces of the people around me, I could recall and drive energy from that. You know, I had this kind of trust. I had, you know, oh, last week we really talked about this. We're very passionate about this kind of customer problem. I tend to draw a lot of that energy from each of the members, whoever that I can from, right? And sometimes I use that as a reinforcement, right, in the meeting. Then, you know, I was able to quote, all right, this is my interaction with this person in that time. And then I invite that person to actually also come in into the discussion and share, you know, those type of things, right? And yeah, I think having that kind of energy, like something that you can draw from, really helped me, right? In, you know, so that's why I think like talking to like a totally new audience kind of like sometimes put a lot of anxiety around me. So because I do not really know this audience, I do not really know them, I do not really know how they work or what's your expectations and stuff like that.
Okay, thank you so much. And apologies, right, that I'm like really, really like diving into the details, because I'm like I said, I this is an aspect of product management which I feel you would be the perfect candidate, right? Because I've had product managers or peers in the industry, you know, friends who come up and say, hey, you know, I'm not like so and so, I'm not, you know, and I'm me, and I'm not someone who likes to put himself or herself out there. Can I succeed as a product manager? And I always tell them that the answer is yes. You just need to find your own brand of product manager, product management, sorry, or your own brand of product leadership. And that kind of brings me to the next sort of part of this conversation, which is still around personality and, you know, product management. Now that you're in a role where you're executive director, obviously you are involved a lot more in strategy discussions. It's no longer just talking to like one customer trying to understand your pain point. Right now, you're literally talking about, okay, the future of, you know, Service Rocket or this particular vertical, and things like that. And one aspect that I sort of wanted to understand a bit more is, as a people manager, how do you deal with conflict, given that you are not an extrovert?
Okay, how do I deal with conflicts, given I'm an introvert?
Yeah.
Interesting. And yeah, I think when it comes to like product type of conflicts, like conflicts of thinking and thoughts, we're pretty much comfortable about it, right? When, you know, talking about, I think as long as we have something in mind, like something aligned, all right, this is what we really want to do, right? Get back to the foundation, get back to the basics. This is the overall goal that we want. So a lot of I think being in like introvert situation, when I sit down in meetings, right, and this is not me being biased about myself, but I get a lot of feedback saying I tend to sit back and not to sit back, but kind of like observe and kind of look at the whole room and try to understand what everyone is trying to say. And only then I will be able to jump in and talk through my what I'm thinking, right? So I tend to do that a lot, and I tend to get a lot of feedback around that as well, right? So it makes me realize, yes, I tend to do this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
sorry, just want to make sure that I'm getting this right. But that's a good thing, right? That you're able to observe and then sort of, you know, process it and then give feedback, right?
To me, yes. Okay. To me, yes. Right. Sometimes I feel like it. I came late into the discussion and kind of like, you know, I feel like I should have jumped in early and, you know, kind of course correct or something like that. Right. But then... I think with that, when speaking about conflicts, you know, conflicts of, you know, what do we think about this? What do we think about that? I sort of use that power of that moment to kind of like, all right, here it is. This is what I'm thinking. And I tend to draw a lot of references from the rest of the group saying, all right, you want this, you want that, you think this, you think that. And here's my thought and how, you know, and then I would, kind of, I tend to give back to the group and kind of think about it as a group. There's probably this funny reference situation from what I went through lately. So I was in this leadership meeting and high pressure situations, and I tend to be quiet in the beginning, right? But then I wanted to say something, and then my CEO kind of like, all right, everybody, kind of, you know, just listen. Azondi is going to speak up and going to say something, right? And then he said that something along the lines of, every word that comes to your mouth is very valuable. Comes up from your mouth is very valuable. Something like that, right? So, well, it added more pressure to me. I was like, what if I'm just gonna say something stupid or something dumb, or you know? But I think that's a kind of like a superpower as well. Without me realizing, you know, I have something like that. So and a lot of people tend to agree with that, right? So every time when I try to speak up, and you know, people tend to listen at some point. Not every time, Colin, but
I'm sure it's but, more. I'm sure it's most of the time.
Yeah, so I think resolving conflicts, it's you know, this type of things kind of help me to go through that kind of situations. And in personal conflicts during one-on-ones, you know, we spend about, I mean, you know, with my product managers, when I used to work with product managers, we spend out weekly and, you know, talking through things. Not much. I don't think we had a lot of personal conflicts, let alone, I think it's more like personal problems and things like that, that, you know, if anything that I can help with. But yeah, I think with that ability to kind of have that moment, seize that moment and get your thought across and have the trust from the audience that, all right, let's listen and think about this. It really helped me to navigate through this type of stuff.
Okay. All right. So again, you know, sort of going down the line of being a people manager, being in a leadership position in product management, do you have like philosophies or principles that you hold on to? Like, you know, this is the Aswandi brand of, you know, product leadership. Are there like specific things that to you are like super, super important?
Not that I have them. No, I don't have certain philosophies or principles that I stick by, but we have this, we've developed this type of mindset that everybody is a leader, right? Mm-hmm. You as a product manager, of course, is a leader, right? You're a product leader. But then the mindset is everybody needs to have at some point have that accountability and responsibility to be part of that product management. Right? Product manager is not a person, just a person. It's by everybody. Everybody who contributes to the success of the product. So having that mindset of having, you know, that leadership kind of qualities and thinking, when, especially when you deal with your products, kind of, I think it helps, it goes a long way to, you know, have that, I would say, ownership of the product, right? So everybody is in it. Everybody is in this together. We are doing it together. So yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, so for you, right, what advice would you give to let's say a similar product manager like you, but maybe more junior, right? So let's say I'm introverted and I'm in product management, you know, do you have any advice to give to me? You know, I'm trying to sort of, you know, I'm trying to be a better product manager. I'm trying to climb that product leadership ladder as well, right? What are the things that I should be looking out for, or that, you know, I can use as my own superpower?
Okay. This reminds me of this, I'm not sure the citation of the statistics, but 1/3 of the world's populations are introverts. So 1 out of 3 product managers presumably are introverts. So there's actually a lot of introverts amongst us, right? Just think from the world's product leader figures. I think people say Bill Gates or Steve Wozniak was kind of like introverts, right? So there you go. So you have the aspirations. If you're a product manager, there's nothing stopping you to, if you're an introvert, there's nothing stopping you to become a really good product manager, right? There's a lot of superpowers that probably I did not mention here. I'm pretty sure a lot of introverts there are really good listeners. So when I think just by having that skill kind of help you to really listen in, trying to understand when you apply to customer problems, hearing them and being able to kind of uncover a lot more other stuff when we talk to them, and being that exercising that empathy with the users, the customers, or anyone that you talk to. And then from there, you probably will be able to kind of come up with a lot of unbiased observations, right? So instead of relying on your gut feels, you tend to sit back and analyze, digest a lot of things, and be able to make a better conscious analysis or even decisions, right? There's definitely a lot of superpowers as introverts, as much as for extroverts as well. I tend to be envy about extroverts. You know, how can just that person talk in front of other people and kind of like draw a lot of attention to them, right? Think on your feet. I don't think being introverts or extroverts kind of it's a differentiating factor as to become a product manager. I think it's more about the skills that you develop, right? Communications, take advantage of that. Communications, collaborations, how do you communicate with other people and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, I fully agree with you as well, Andy. For those of you who are listening, right, just because you are not, you know, extrovert to the nth degree, it doesn't mean that you're going to fail. Like I said, right, I think Aswandi is someone who has really, really, you know, gotten my respect as someone who is not loud or anything, but I really like to listen to what he has to say. Especially like, you know, when we were in, I think it was in Bali, right? We went for that product retreat. It was really, really refreshing to hear from someone like Aswandi. So use what you have to your advantage, right? You don't have to be someone else. And I think that's probably the most amazing thing about, you know, just being yourself rather than trying to model yourself, against someone else or measure yourself against someone else. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Let's move on a little bit, right? In product management, you're a product leader now. What do you have a favorite interview method when you're looking for, you know, when you're trying to hire, or is there something that you specifically look for? in product managers that you're trying to hire?
Hiring. All right. Interesting topic. We haven't been doing a lot of hiring this few couple of months. You know, I think everybody is in a tight position, and you know, kind of like now we are trying to harness from, you know, the power of existing product management and kind of do that. But when it comes to hiring, I think I learned a lot doing the structured behavioral interview. I think probably we were in the same situation, we were in the same session last time. I'm sorry, I forgot the guy's name, but it was really beneficial for me to kind of, this is how you can do a really good interview and kind of benchmark all your candidates across all the interviews, right? I think what matters is probably the product sense, right? Product sense, it's actually very hard to kind of measure or identify. But, you know, someone who's very passionate about products, you know, those type of things really, you know, potentially will catch our interest, right? Now, when you can passionately talk about the products that you have, I think it's, you know, it's interviews are, you know, as much of the structured questions that we have, but when the candidate kind of talks through the product battle scars and wars and, you know, whatever that they have and passionately talk about it, that's already like kind of like green light. It's like the first green light for us. Yeah.
Okay. So are you the kind of hiring manager who like will have, you know, we'll have a culture fit session, and then we'll have a behavioral test session, then we'll have like a test assignment, you know, or are you the, I'm just going to need one session with you and I can already suss out whether I think you're going to fit or you're not going to fit?
Let's look at the statistics maybe, right? So we can have some unbiased intake input into this. Historically, we've been doing kind of like one stage interviews, and we get the best PMs that we think would work for us. So during that 1 hour or one and a half hours interviews, we went through all the structured questions, among other things, with a group of product managers. Sometimes we invite our engineering leader or design engineer be in that meeting. We kind of try to cover the spectrum, right? Sometimes like, you know, when we look at certain topics, we have our questions, and if the person can't really answer that question, there's probably no use for us to further deep dive in. So we tend to look at the high levels, although the high levels are probably very specific or something that can already reveal or give us a little bit of perspective, a lot of perspective on, you know, that topic, point of view from the candidate. So 1.5 hours, we spend time about learning about the candidates, but also have them kind of learn about our culture. And, you know, during the interview, we actually get a lot of reference. Statistically, we actually get a lot of reference at the end of the interview, like how grateful the candidates are when they interview with us. Well, I think being 15 years being in the same company, I couldn't speak a lot about it, but it makes me think about, you know, the experience of the whole product management industry, right? How candidates are treated and stuff like that. So we also tend to assert, not to say assert, but kind of we behave the way that we would behave in a typical daily setup as a product manager, and being kind of like empathy and all those type of things. And then it's really good to hear that feedback at the end of the interview, right? Kind of like, all right, that's cool. So when people being opened up at the end about, just speaking about culture fit, right? People being opened up at the end and kind of appreciate this type of stuff, you kind of see, all right, this is probably something, you know, not just culture fit, right? But I think someone who who can add something to our culture or whatnot. But as long as there's no red lights and red flags, I think, yeah, okay. That's pretty much it. Sometimes I need a second opinion. So I will get my boss to come in, to especially for type of leadership interviews. Sometimes we tend to give homework as well if we feel this person has really good soft skills as a product manager, but you know, just to prove some of the hard skills. So we will send a follow up interview. But yeah, historically, one interview is enough.
Okay. Thank you. Very nice. All right. So then let's also then move on with something that you said, right? So you've been with Service Rocket for like what, 15 years or something, which is amazing. So I guess in footballing terms, you'll be known as like a one club man, right? And the thing that is, I think out of that 15 years, like what, 10 of it was in product management or something like that?
Half is about eight.
Yeah. So my question to you is, you know, it's not common. In fact, it would seem to be a growing trend where people tend to jump in order to either A, get more experience or to climb the ladder. And so my question to you is, how do you keep yourself motivated within the organization, right? Because I think one of the biggest challenges is things getting stale as well. Like, you know, hey, you know, I've been here X number of years, I've been working on the same kind of problems, you know, blah, blah, blah. So like, you know, you having been in Service Rocket for so long, what keeps you motivated, especially from a product sense of things, from product side, sorry?
Yeah, I think people's mileage may vary from companies to companies. For me, it's about, I mean, easily I've probably done about 5 to 6 jobs when I'm here at Service Rocket. So I used to be the support engineer and being the senior support and then kind of do something else and then do different platforms, different products, and then being the manager, leader, and then went to product management as a junior product manager and then sort of like senior, self-proclaimed senior product manager because I was the only one. And then became the lead head of product. It's kind of like full spectrum of product management. Well, in a small company, right? But then I think there's a couple of things that very valuable to me is the opportunity to learn and grow, and also what also echoed by my CEO lately is the being productive and being happy, right? If you're in a company, you need these two. So if you only have one, it's probably time to part ways or, you know, think about something else. So it's never been this. All right. So theoretically, it's been the same for like 1 or 2 years. Every 1 or 2 years block, I'm pretty much dealing with same type of stuff, right? But every 2-3 years, I managed to kind of like do something else or expanded my scope and, you know, try to do better, because I've gone through the, you know, the product ownership level where you work with a squad and then after 2 years kind of moved up and working with multiple squads, multiple products, and then 2 or 3 years working with product managers, engineers, designers, and then another 1 to 2 years starting to look at the business part of things, right? So it kind of, I feel privileged to have that opportunity to actually do that without changing company, right? But that's probably not the main point. The main point is I had the chance to learn and grow and being productive and happy. And yeah, I think doing a lot of different things, Colin. So yeah.
Okay. So as long as you are able to change up certain things or you're being able to explore different facets of, I guess, the role or within the team, then it's how you've been keeping yourself, I guess, occupied and satisfied.
Yep. And actually, in the past 1 to 2 years, things have gone pretty, different from what we used to do in the past few years. So we actually it is in the news. We actually sold most of our products in our portfolio to we did a big transaction with another partner of ours, right? I guess in this context is how we, you know, how we turn from a setting where we have a cash cow products into something zero, right? Into something, not say zero, but kind of like startup mode. So that's, you know, in the past 1 to 2 years, that's what keeps me, you know, excited, and also, you know, what keeps me awake at night as well, is the, is that mode, right? So you've been working with cash cow products and now you're suddenly going to zero. And then I started to feel, oh, this is how you feel when you have a startup, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then we have, we did a transaction, but we did not sell our team because we love our team. So we keep our team. So I still have our engineering team, capable engineering team, and our product manager, designer, same team. But now we have a different kind of things and even mindset to switch, right? So yeah, I mean, just want to highlight, I mean, that's the biggest change that I had in the past 1 to 2 years.
So it sounds like, I don't know, right, anecdotally, right, I'm not saying that this is true for everyone, but I think there have been, you know, you staying in Service Rocket for so long, even within the organization, those changes have given you new challenges to really sort of not just so have problems, like new problem areas to go into, or like you say, right, moving back to like the startup mode. But it's also challenges for you to sort of grow personally as a product person as well. Is that a accurate summary?
Yes, it is, right? So I can totally relate to product managers who feel stagnant, right, in the career progression. I mean, career progression is probably something else, but also things that they are actually doing day to day, week to week, month to month, right? Working with the same products. And then, I mean, in terms of uncertainty, we probably just deal with uncertainties, right? I mean, things change almost on a daily basis, I guess, right? But I guess that's a given when you're a product manager. But when you work with like the same product and the same kind of industry, yeah, I think you tend to feel bored about it, right? Feel that you need to do something else. Not to say like you should jump to another companies or whatnot, right? But I think that also, I've met product managers who want to stick in the same career, in the same product, in the same platform, because they believe in actually there's a lot more to do, right? Mm. So I think, again, mileage may vary, right, from person to person, from PM to PM. But for me, yeah, I think that opportunity to do different things, and not to say all of the time that I have the choice to do it. Sometimes you kind of forced to do it, especially when you are at the leadership level. Let's do it, right? So you probably practice your disagree to commit and disagree. Yes. To agree, right? Agree to disagree, and then kind of like commit to it. But you know, it's how it turns out that matters, right? How you work with your team, rally your team, and do it. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. You have brought up something really, really interesting, right? So let's jump into this one. So because you were saying that, you know, at a leadership level, sometimes you got to do things that you don't necessarily 100% agree with, right? So that's where you mentioned the disagree and commit, or agree to disagree, but we still do it. How do you manage that within the product team, right? Because the thing that, you know, it's a lot to do with also popular opinion, I guess, you know, these days, a lot of people are saying that, oh, you know, product manager's greatest power is to say no, blah, blah, blah. And this is where I'm going to lay it all on the table, right? I don't think that is true in real life all the time. Like, you know, I'm hearing you know, my own experience that, look, there are just certain things that a company wants to do that we're just going to have to do. And how do you, A, reconcile that for yourself, and B, how do you make sure that you reconcile your team with it as well to make sure that, yeah, this is not exactly what we had in mind, but we're still going to go to do this anyway, because we know that ultimately this could potentially have a better outcome, better, you know, whatever reason that we've agreed upon.
Yeah, certainly I've went through some of that situations. And I think, by the way, I think that's a normal situation, right? I'm not saying that this is a measure of how the companies are not aligned and whatnot, right? These type of conflicts are healthy conflicts, right? Productive conflicts at some point too.
Yes.
So, you know, when trying to recall my recent experience around this, I tend to realize that, you know, when a leader is objecting their vision on something, that kind of, what does that mean? Right? Really? Right? Those type of things. I tend to, you know, first you got to have that trust, right? Have that trust that, all right, there's some, because I've worked with this person for so many years, maybe that's my advantage. So there's something in their message that could be true, right? So that kind of opens up my way to kind of like go deep and inspect what is it really that this person mean, right? So working with my boss, for example, maybe there's something that I kind of like, what does that mean? I don't believe in that, but just having more discussion, conversation with my boss and kind of try to understand and, you know, go through some other practices on how you get to the root cause of things kind of help, right? And then I don't think there's a way out for you to actually get out of that discussion disagreeing and not aligning, and then you want to go to your team and kind of talk about it. It's going to put you in a very difficult situation. I don't think there's a way out. It's just going to show that, you know, all right, Azan is bluffing, it's very fluffy, and you know, so you yourself like, how do I talk to my team about this? Yeah, that's going to be very difficult. So whether I like it or not, I gotta make sure that I have at least some form of alignment with my leaders and bosses, you know, trying to understand from their perspective and use that understanding to kind of talk to my team. Mm. Well, obviously it's probably sometimes, I mean, maybe it doesn't work all the time. But that kind of gives me the confidence to kind of relay the vision and kind of put that into strategy and kind of talk to the team. Hey, this is what we're going to do and this is why we're going to do it. Sometimes we get pushback and stuff. Oh, yeah, that's actually true. So I kind of, all right, let's get back and, you know, talk to my bosses and leaders about it. But I think, yeah, again, there's no way out. Like if you don't feel that you can align, right? These two powers, right? I don't think there's a way out. So you really got to work out which part that you can really rely on.
Okay. So, I promise this will be the final question. So then what do you think about that? That, you know, now it's so popular, right? But people always say that, you know, a product manager's greatest power is saying no. So what would be your take on that as a statement? You know, just as is, as I've mentioned it to you with no context, like if let's say, you know, you were to read it on, you know, the product manager, you know, X is sharing this for the 130,000th time, right? The greatest power for product managers to say no. What would be your feedback to that? What is the Aswan-D response?
I don't think it works all the time.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's hard to say no to things, right? Sometimes you actually want to say yes to a lot of things. But I think you really need to build up a lot of conviction in order to say no, right? Sometimes you might have gained trust a lot of people. It's easy to say no, but you gotta remove a lot of biases, right? So from a lot of perspective, you try to come in and, if you have those convictions, then it's easy for you to say no.
Yeah. No, but I like what you said about the fact that you have to remove biases. And that's one thing that, you know, even within my own team or, you know, even, you know, talking to peers as well, it's easy to always say, oh, you know, I'm just supposed to say no. And then everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're Mr. Product Manager or Miss Product Manager, therefore we agree. And it's never the case, right? You have to build the case for it. And certain times, if you take out all your personal biases and your own vested interests and commitments, then you realize, no, like actually, whatever, you know, this team member or this team said actually makes sense, and it would actually make more sense for us to do this rather than that. So yeah, I just wanted to see from your perspective, because you happen to say that, yeah, sometimes, you know, you have to disagree and commit. And I feel like that part of the conversation within product management doesn't get talked about often enough. It's all about how, you know, product manager, I'm the greatest, I'm the decision maker. And, you know, and I'm like, no, but it's not the case, right? We are pretty much the biggest goodies, you know.
Yes, right. We are not the product CEOs. You're not CEOs of the product. It's more like the other way around. Like, early days, like, you're the kitchen sink. Everybody goes to you.
True, that's true. Everybody, right? You do everything. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. So sorry. By the way, if you guys don't know what the word coolie means, is like slave, or it's like a local slang we use here for like slave or servant or something like that, right? So yeah, or cheap or laborer, yeah, laborer or something like that. So okay. So hopefully that gives some context to the word I used. All right. So Aswatini, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I know this is not something that you would readily do all the time, so I really appreciate you indulging me, especially with my incessant questions. Apologies for my naivety or stupidity. Just before we close, I wanted to ask you, you know, is there anything that, you know, any thoughts, any advice, anything you want to leave with our listeners and viewers?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Colin, thanks for being such a good host. So being an introvert PM, introvert person, this wasn't easy for me to do, but you made it easy for me. So kudos to you, Colin. Some advice, I think speaking about all the topics today, mainly about being introvert PM, it's not disadvantageous for you. I think a junior PM may have that thoughts, right? I think I had that thoughts before. Like, how am I going to deal with people, person, and, you know, being in front and the center of the company, kind of rally everybody together. That's not me, right? But I think with the superpowers that you have, you can start building that up from the ground, and, you know, kind of, you will gain confidence.
Okay. Thank you so much. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody in between, that was Aswandi Aris, the Executive Director of Product Management at Service Rocket. I really hope that today's episode was helpful, especially for those of you who tend not to be extroverts, or maybe you're ambivert or whatever that it is, right? Hopefully, you know, hearing from somebody like Aswandi, that you can take notes and also take encouragement. Again, like what Aswandi was saying, right? It's not a disadvantage. It's just something that you can use and harness to your own advantage. So yeah, thank you all so much. And I will see you at the next session. Bye-bye.